This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
So what I found is like when I adopted the ketogenic lifestyle, I couldn't have ketchup. I couldn't have ketchup. I couldn't have barbecue sauce.
Sugar in them.
Yeah, like ketchup has more sugar than a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. It's like
sugar and vinegar.
Okay. Yeah. And it's like when you look at barbecue sauce.
Oh, that's gotta have more sugar.
Yeah, it has more sugar than ice cream.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at like, oh, I'm gonna have this big set of ribs and I'm gonna throw some ice cream on top of it. And then I'm gonna have a hamburger with a Snickers bar.
Yeah,
so
there you go. Perfect.
I work in the lab all the time making formulations. And I'm like, well, I'll just make the ketchup. Like I can easily make the ketchup with what we've got here. And then, so I made ketchup, I made teriyaki sauce, I made steak sauce, like a Thai sweet chili sauce. Cause
yeah,
it's like,
no, you sent them all to me. We've been trying them.
Yeah. And you go to these restaurants and stuff and it's like, I mean, look at all the sugar you're putting in your body. So
the information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi there, I'm Tom King. I'm the founder and CEO of Staviva Brands and Icon Foods. I'm also a food scientist and an author. I wrote the book Guy Gone Keto and also launched a line of consumer products under the same name.
All right, Tom. So thanks for coming on the podcast. I know we've been back and forth, but I'm not only a bit of a ketogenic fan, but I've now read your book. I haven't read everyone's book who's come on the podcast, but I just find all that stuff fascinating. And I'm using some of your products that you sent me, both the sweetening products and some of the sauces. And I think I even ordered a keto box from somebody through your book, but some of the stuff I didn't like it. It's like cardboard. Some of the stuff,
Yeah.
Really good. You got to like pick and choose
Yeah.
It's an adventure, but I'm fascinated by how sugar is entrenched in our life. So, I want to go back and start your story about way back where you grew up and how you got started and your business experience and how you got to where you are. And then I want to talk about the book and the fact that we basically all live in a crack house when people are telling us, okay, there's crack everywhere, but don't eat it, you know? And that's the way we live. So can you start there, going back a little bit, where you're from?
Oh, wow. That's been kind of a long journey. I mean, the way I got into sweeteners really was, I was living in Phoenix, Arizona, and working for a radio station, doing sales.
Does that and how long ago?
1992.
Okay, yeah.
And
so that's when I came out of law school. That was a long time. It was like 30 years ago. Okay,
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
time goes by so quickly. And then I ran into this guy. His name was Jim May, and he had just come back from Paraguay. And he had this jar and it was filled with green paste.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, you should try this.
Sounds disgusting.
Yeah. So I tasted it and I was like, whoa, this is super sweet. Like it was probably 25 times sweeter than sugar, but it had like a real strong herbal taste and it was pretty bitter.
Okay.
But at that point in time, I'm like, you know, if I can get these sweet constituents out of this leaf somehow, maybe this could be a natural version of like aspartame, because aspartame had just really been introduced to the market about then.
Aspartame is what? Equal?
Aspartame would be equal.
Okay.
Aspartame used to be used in Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi, and it's a phenylalanine,
yeah,
like a modified phenylalanine product.
Right.
So if you suffer from phenylketonuria, like your body is unable to metabolize phenylalanine, it can actually put you into a coma. Yeah, and so it's also
basically you shouldn't be taking it if that's the case.
Not unless you want to go into a coma.
Now, that's really the successor to Sweet and Low, which was saccharin. I found all the bad things about that, right?
Well, saccharin, you know, I actually am not hugely opposed to saccharin because
it's interesting
that weird things go on in the sort of the chemical industry,
right?
You know, where people use press against each other and stuff like that. And so there was a study that came out and it's like, oh yeah, well, saccharin is shown to cause cancer, bladder cancer in rats. And so they started pulling it out of products. But what they found is that it was like 10,000 times the dosage that you would take, you know, if you were just drinking
anything like would get tap. Cancer at that level.
Right. And so, you know, and so now they allow saccharin in beverages again. So,
But then we went from pink to blue and now we're at yellow, right?
Which is Splenda, and that has sucralose in it.
Right.
And sucralose is a chlorinated sugar molecule.
Right, it's another sugar molecule.
And so I used to think that, you know what, sucralose, it couldn't possibly be that bad. I mean, how much residual, you know, chlorine is going to be left in this? And so I did I actually had a formula that I was working on for somebody, and they brought in a box of sucralose, and I opened it up and I was almost overcome by the intense smell of chlorine on it.
Really? You could just smell it, huh?
Oh, I could. Yeah. I could absolutely smell it.
Chlorine's that smell when you're at the pool, right?
Yeah. So I would 10X that. And then that's going to give you kind of an idea of what opening this box of sucralose was about. And so the more I researched it, the more I studied it, I found that, you know, there is pretty conclusive evidence that if you consume too much sucralose, that it can have a negative impact on your microbiome, you know, and your microbiome is that village. Yeah. It's like that village of bacteria that, you know, lives in your gut and helps you metabolize carbohydrates. It's also responsible for 75% of your immune system and almost 90% of your serotonin. So if you screw up your microbiome, you can find that your serotonin levels are going to drop, means your sleep's going to be disrupted. You could suffer from massive amounts of anxiety. And needless to say, in times like this, having a strong immune system is pretty critical.
Yeah, pretty critical. All right. So we're back in 92. You weren't a keto guy then, right? You weren't into any of that stuff.
No, I wasn't. I ate pizza and drank wine and beer and French fries, hamburgers, the whole nine. So I used keto and back then it was sort of referred to as Atkins. And Atkins,
that
is
was
just
really
like
the first keto ketogenic diet, right? Where you're eating like big things of meat.
Yeah, which is interesting because it was more of a high protein sort of keto diet. And in keto, if you eat too much protein, it can actually kick you out of keto because protein will metabolize into glycogens and can be stored in your muscles, which means basically you've got a bunch of sugar, you know, proteins that were converted to sugar. So, but I started with the Atkins and so I would use Atkins as a diet. So I would get fat and then I'd want to lose some weight and I would do Atkins for a couple months. I'd lose the weight, go back to my old lifestyle, gain the weight back.
Yeah, yo-yo.
Plus some.
Right.
Yeah, it was total yo-yo.
That's
weight.
What the diet business is about. You diet, you lose the weight, then you gain it back and you're up and down.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so
which
you don't
is really
your life. That's the problem.
That is 100%. And that's where diets, like I found that diets are temporary solutions to a problem that's just going to get worse. And like, if you really want to make a big difference in your physique, in your brain function, it's about making a lifestyle change. And that's what my book is kind of about. I mean, Like a lot of people pick it up and think, oh, hey, this is just going to be a bunch of keto recipes and stuff like that. But it's not. It's really more about how to make a lifestyle change. Like how do you shift from the bad habits that I had of a bottle of wine every night and pizza and, you know.
Yeah, the eating. I also like the fact that in your book, you kind of recognize the fact that, hey, listen, we're all human beings. I fall off the wagon sometimes too.
Oh, yeah.
You eat, you know, it's holiday. You're having your friend. You haven't seen your roommate in 15 years from whatever. And this is how I get back to it. You know, it's just life. And I think it's realistic.
Yeah. And also I think taking into consideration the pandemic that we're going through. I mean, you're getting a lot of people that are self-medicating through food. You know, a lot of people that are eating convenience food because they don't know, you know, they're going to go buy a week's worth of groceries or 2 weeks worth of groceries in one shot.
And so they're not going to go to the store.
Yeah. And you're not going to be buying fresh. You're going to be buying either frozen or something in a can or a box. So I think showing ourselves a little bit of grace in these times is a good idea and a good practice because it's like, these are unprecedented times. And it's like, you know what? So you're going to put on 10 pounds, you know how to take it off, you know, and it's mindset.
Yeah. It's funny. My son drives a produce truck for a local produce business around here, which is basically a fresh box business.
Oh yeah.
So, and her business has obviously gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Because all the farms, half of which we're delivering to the restaurants, don't have anywhere to deliver. So all these people want it fresh in their house. So she's delivering boxes every week. And you know, now they've added other things to it that are all fresh. But it's funny, in our house, we're cooking more fresh stuff, more vegetables, more fruits. My wife likes to cook. So everything we're eating is more fresh. We have less like crap around the house, which
That's good.
Which is nice for us. It just kind of worked out. Like my wife, she goes once a week. She doesn't care. She gloves up and masks it. But you're right. Some people, they buy 2 weeks worth, 3 weeks worth. So they stay away from the store. Can't buy fresh if that's what you do, right?
Right. And I think, you know, if you're living in a food desert or you're living in a super high density population area where there's more restrictions, you're going to be getting less fresh.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back. I still don't know what the green paste is. So we're back in 92 and you're
back
in
to the green paste. Yeah. So I tasted it and I was like, holy crap, what is this? And he's like, it's stevia leaves. And I'm like, I've never even heard of this.
We never heard of it in 92.
Yeah, never heard of it. It's like stevia. And he's like, yeah, it grows in South America and they use it to sweeten tea. And that's where I was like, yeah, I got to come up with an idea to be able to get those sweet constituents out of that leaf and then compete with aspartame at this point or NutraSweet.
Right.
Yeah. So that I just threw myself into it. I had a day job that was funding everything that I was doing, hiring chemists to see if there was a natural water extraction method that we could use to unlock that. And so after about 4 years, I found a method and contacted a company in China. And it was the only facility that was able to do it at the time. And they manufactured the stevia extract and shipped it to me. And
so were you one of the first guys to be pulling stevia out of the stevia plant? I mean, an extract?
Yeah, I would. I'm sort of the OG. Like there's probably
you don't own Truvia though. That's a brand name for, right?
Well, Truvia, yeah. I mean, that's owned by Cargill. And so they came later in the game. They came into really, Truvia is kind of a blend of erythritol and stevia extract.
Yeah, I didn't think it was really stevia. It's got to be some commercialized, you know, version to produce it, right?
Yeah, it's mostly erythritol, which is an alcohol sugar, and with a little bit of stevia in it, because stevia extract can be up to 300 times sweeter than sugar. So it's not really usable. Like to put it in a packet, you know, like a green or yellow packet, you'd hardly have any in there. Like you'd have
Because it's too strong, is what you're saying.
It's way too strong. So you have to cut it with something. And I think there's a lot of companies that use maltodextrin. But maltodextrin gets metabolized into like a simple sugar. So you're not really saving anything.
Right.
It's basically like
Stevia, like you can get packets of stevia. What's in there? Just very little bit of stevia?
The tiniest bit.
Yeah,
probably around 1%. And then the rest of it's filler, which is going to be maltodextrin, erythritol, sometimes fructose.
So Truvia is really not that bad. It's just not all stevia.
Yeah, I would say Truvia is not bad at all. I mean, it's erythritol, which is an alcohol sugar.
Okay.
which isn't bad for you. If you have too much of it, it can cause, you know, cramping of your stomach. And
right. But if you put a packet in a cup of coffee once a day,
you should be fine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now let's go on your journey, because I know where you are now. I'm interested to see how you fills in with the book. So you created Stevia. So now you, what did you do? You started selling it commercially? What did you do?
Well, it still wasn't allowed in the US as a sweetener. Okay. So you could only sell it as a dietary supplement.
It was a natural supplement. It was, from a plant.
Yeah, it was natural. So we started making different blends, that were easy for people to use, right. Where it could be measured out for one-to-one. And then we were just sold in health food stores because it had to be sold as a dietary supplement. It couldn't be sold as a actual sweetener. And then in 2008, the FDA, with the persuasion of Cargill, decided to make stevia generally regarded as safe, and it can be used in food processing. And that's when things really took off for us. So that's when we started getting, my whole concept was to build a consumer brand and then sort of parlay that consumer brand equity into an ingredient company. And it worked. It really worked. So by the time 2008 rolled around, we started selling our products into nutritional bars, sports nutrition drinks, frozen dessert, confectionery, stuff like that.
And you said your background is in food science. You're a chemist?
My background's marketing and intellectual property law.
Okay, interesting. So really wasn't what you, basically you, by happenstance, your friend shows you this thing and...
Yep. So I'm sort of autodidactic when it comes to food science. Self-trained. Self-trained. But it's like I've been doing it for so long. I've reformulated stuff for 15 years, like some big brands that you've seen. So it just sort of came naturally to me after working with these sweeteners for such a long period.
And if you're a marketing guy, building a brand is natural. It comes, it's what you do.
Yeah. And IP, making sure that all of your brands are secured and, we don't have an ingredient that goes out of our, warehouse. It's not branded as something our erythritol is branded with Yuri Sweet, and our stevia is called Stevia Sweet. And
you have the monk fruit stuff. Here's the chips. I like these very much.
Oh yeah.
These are good.
Those are good. I got those in my last keto box. They're pretty good. They have xylitol in them.
Yeah, but they taste like candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They taste like sweet candy. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Xylitol really
low
can
on the
be,
glycemic index too.
Yeah, xylitol can have a little bit of an impact on the GI system. So, all right,
I don't have a great GI system. Yeah. I don't. So I got kidney stone issues. I get sick when I eat high dairy fats make me very ill. I can't digest them. Huh. I'm sure it has something to do with my biodome, like you mentioned.
Microbiome.
Since I was young. Right. Since I was young.
Have you ever had gout?
I've never had gout. Only my uncle has gout. I've been tested GI, upper GI series. And they're like, you don't tolerate this. I'm like, I know. Well, what should I do? Don't eat it. I'm like, thank you. I went through all this so I stay away from a lot of, I don't eat a lot of cheese. I don't eat any cheese, creams. But, nowadays you can get substitutes for ice cream and for, low-fat frozen yogurt. 20, 30 years ago, probably harder.
Yeah.
But interesting. A lot of it's affected by stress, I'm sure, just like everything else in our life, right?
Yeah, the microbiome is super important.
Yeah, maybe I can balance that by the time I'm 80, and then I'll be able to eat cheese again. We'll see. So that's the side of it. But I'm curious. I'm interested because you weren't at that point. You were making the sweetener, but were you a keto guy at that point? Was keto a big part of your life or not necessarily?
Keto was a part of my life sometimes. So if I felt like I was getting fat, I would adopt keto. So I didn't really jump into keto.
The lifestyle.
It wasn't my lifestyle until probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Oh, really recently.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like when I wrote the book. So I was I was about 35 pounds heavier than I am now.
Well, you're a thin guy, so yeah.
Yeah. And I was in Vegas and
I'm saying if you're 300 pounds and you gain 35 pounds, not a big impact, but if you're a thin person,
Yeah.
Well, I'm 30, you're, you know, 25% of your body weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm 6'2", so I carried it well.
Save a big
but
frame,
still,
right?
Yeah. But still, when I, you know, look in the mirror, it's like, yeah, that's a lot of weight to be right. carrying. But there were some other factors too. Like my blood pressure was through the roof. I was taking Prilosec every day because I had terrible heartburn.
Stomach.
So right. Yeah. And then brain fog in the afternoon. I was a terrible caffeine addict. Yeah. So I went out to dinner with one of our vendors in Vegas and had a steak and potato and wine, piece of cake afterwards. Yeah.
Whole thing.
Yeah. I got back to the room and I was staying at the Luxor and it probably needs to.
Is that the one with the pyramid?
Down. It was the pyramid.
Yeah. The pyramid. Is it still there?
It's still
there. Oh, okay. It's probably there, the oldest hotels in Vegas, right?
It's like it maybe shouldn't be there. So I got up to the room and, you know, the room just reeked, you know, whoever had the room before must have spilled like some Jägermeister or something on the rug and it was just sticky. And it just like, it just, yeah, like the room just reeked of regret. And so I just kind of had, yeah, I did. I had like an epiphany, you know, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on here? I'm like, I'm carrying extra weight. My health's not that great. You know, I need to absolutely make a change from this point going forward. So I'm really big on journaling. Like I journal every single day. It's like, it's an obsession with me. And so I started journaling.
It's like a written form of blogging.
100%. Yeah. Like it's, but it's how
just don't
I sort of
put it out to the whole world.
I wouldn't want to.
Right. I know people that do. This. They put all their stuff online. They would tell the whole story. That's
not
that,
this
it's
kid.
Therapeutic for them.
Not this kid.
Right.
I couldn't deal with the humiliation and probably the restraining orders. So I just started. I mean, I was, you know, I was just doing my journaling.
Yeah. But at this point, you had a food line. I mean, you had a supplements line.
Well, we had a line of sweeteners, so we were selling the sweeteners. So I wasn't, I would say that at best I was an imposter. So
you knew a lot about the sugar industry and the bad.
I knew everything about it.
So you knew all that stuff, but you were eating it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, do as I say, not as I do type situation. And it's like,
you're selling an alternative to crack, but you're using the crack.
It's the crackhead. The crackhead selling the crack. Telling people not to use crack when I was using crack.
Right. Exactly. So, that's what it is.
Yeah. But I started writing about it and it's like how to break habits. And after journaling on this journey, if you will, for a year, I had a book. And then I had a friend who, you know, had a publisher that he was friends with. And I'm like, hey, I've got this book. It's pretty rough. You want to take a look at it?
So the journaling became a book? Or you started writing a book from the journal? No, it was the journal that became the book.
Yep. The journal kind of became the book.
Because you're doing like your own life research, basically. You're figuring all that on paper.
Well, I was trying to figure out how to break habits, you know, like how to break a bad habit. And I do catch a lot of crap for this because I do have a method of breaking habits that psychologists have said is not healthy. But what I do is like I associate so much pain with that habit that it exceeds the pleasure.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSight Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSight. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSight and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers?
Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
But what I do is, like, I associate so much pain with that habit that it exceeds the pleasure.
Because I think that's what Tony Robbins says to do. You imagine yourself 100%. Where the pain is so much worse than not doing, you won't do it.
Yep. And that's, like, I'm a huge Tony Robbins fan. And a lot of that I got from him. Like, you associate so much pain with this habit that it erases the pleasure. And I found that that was super effective because I could eat a pizza, but I would suffer so much. Like, I would suffer physically by, you know, having, you know, like heartburn and stuff like that.
Right.
But it was the pain that I inflicted upon myself. It was the self-loathing, and it exceeded the pleasure. And then I found every time that I was picking up a piece of pizza, it's like, well, do you really want to go through that again?
Right.
And I stopped eating pizza.
Look, I went through this with my dietary issues, not on purpose, but like, my aunt has similar dietary issues. She doesn't care so much. She goes through it. I associate so much pain and so much discomfort and so many nights that I've been up in writhing pain, and my intestines would be tied in knots, that it's not worth it to me how good any of that tastes.
Right.
It's just not. And if you can, I guess, mentally associate pain like that with anything, break a habit.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Like, it makes sense.
If you're eating a donut,
it doesn't make you jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. It actually makes you change your habit. Okay.
Yeah. And that's where you have to, I think, be
careful, right?
Careful, because you don't want to have pain becoming despair.
Right.
And suffering. I mean, suffering is a choice, but some people don't have as good a control over their pain, and they can sink into a super dark, super scary place.
Right.
If you are one of those people, don't use that method.
Right. Yeah. It's not for everybody, but for you, it worked.
For me, it did. For me, it worked because, you know, I'm pretty resilient. I have pretty thick skin, so I can give myself a thorough beating
and still survive.
And be okay on the other side of it, because in as much as you give yourself discipline, it's important to give yourself praise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think resilience is an interesting word, because this is a really difficult time. And if the resilient people are surviving, pivoting, get through it. The people aren't so resilient. Yeah. This is really tough for them.
It is. I mean, it's a good lesson for us all.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So there you were. You were overweight. You knew the sugar industry.
Yeah.
And you started to change. So you started to change your habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so where did the keto stuff come about?
Well, that's a really good question. So because we sold our sweeteners to a lot of keto companies, a lot of those founders of those companies were friends of mine. And I really leaned on them too. It's like, I want more information, like really wanted the deep dive science in keto.
Right.
And so I had talked to professors, I'd talked to doctors, I'd talked to founders and CEOs of keto companies. And I got the deep science of it, like how it works and why it makes sense. And that was really helpful. And it's like, do your work, do your research, because you don't want to go into something wrong. Like, there's things that you need to know about drinking enough water and taking in enough salt.
So yeah, the molecular level, like what it does to your body if you don't, things that you put, right.
Right. But then there's other things, physical things that you'll notice. Like, I think a lot of people are using keto as a modality just for weight loss.
Right.
But there's so much more to it. Like, it really helps with inflammation. I noticed it completely vanquished my heartburn. Like, I used to eat Tums and Prilosec. Nope, no more. The afternoon where you feel like you need to take a nap, gone. Chronic use of caffeine, gone.
Well, you can use ketogenic eating and ketosis to lose weight, but you can't eat like that forever. You can only do it for, you have to have a balanced life. There's a difference between living and eating a keto diet versus dieting with keto.
Like, right. Yeah, I think adopting a ketogenic lifestyle is the key to good health. I think going too extreme and staying in deep ketosis ongoing is what happens is you create what's called metabolic inflexibility, which means that then when you go off keto and you have a carb, yeah, you just like gain crazy amount of weight and your body's like, what is this? We don't know how to metabolize this. So I think it's important that you cycle on and off. So I'll cycle on and off every couple of months.
Right. Well, you know, it's unfortunate because if somebody's, I don't know, 300 pounds, they do have to do some extreme things to really get their weight down, but then they really need to change their life permanently.
Right.
They're just going to, you know, because the biology of it is, correct me if I'm wrong, when you gain weight, the number of fat cells in your body increases. But when you lose weight, they just shrink. So therefore, you have more cells screaming out for food. So it's a constant yo-yo and you're spiraling down. So, you know, people just have to accept that, you know, my body's not made for this and I'm prone to gain weight and I can't eat the crack and whatever.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's hard to break habits. It's hard for people to get away from what they consider to be comfortable. Like anything in life. So unfortunately, people sometimes go in circles their whole life, you know?
Yeah. And breaking a pattern like that, I think is key.
Key. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and also, I mean,
my wife is a diet clinic. Unfortunately, there's people that come back all the time.
And I also think giving yourself some grace, I think is important, but also setting realistic goals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're 300 pounds overweight and you want to lose weight, I would say don't do it fast.
Right.
That's
never
you're going to have a lot of, you're going to have a lot of loose skin. And then when you end up, you know, falling off the wagon, it's going to almost be inevitable.
Right.
But I think that setting realistic goals is key. Like if you just set a goal of I'm going to lose 3 pounds per month.
Right.
So within 2 years, you can lose 300 pounds.
Right. Of course. But you have little goals and you get there slowly but surely, and you don't overdo it and get frustrated and be like, I can't do this. Right.
Yep.
And it comes around. And then, by the way, you have much better habits too, right? Because you've been doing it for 2 years.
Yep. And stay off the scale.
Not craving things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, stay off the scale. Don't make the scale a daily thing.
Right.
Make it a weekly thing so you can see that you're tracking, and then set sensible monthly goals. Well, you can beat the shit out of yourself.
It's never good. So when did you start developing? Because you have a whole line of stuff. So when did you start getting into other... They're really all supplements, right? Supplements, sauces.
Well, so it's a line of condiments. And so what I found is like when I adopted the ketogenic lifestyle, I couldn't have ketchup. I couldn't have barbecue sauce.
Sugar in them.
Yeah. Like ketchup has more sugar than a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
It's like,
sugar and vinegar.
Okay. Yeah. And it's like when you look at barbecue sauce.
Oh, that's got to have more sugar.
Yeah, it has more sugar than ice cream.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at like, oh, I'm going to have this big set of ribs and I'm going to throw some ice cream on top of it. And then I'm going to have a hamburger with a Snickers bar.
Yeah,
so
there you go. Perfect.
I work in the lab all the time making formulations. And I'm like, well, I'll just make the ketchup. Like I can easily make the ketchup with what we've got here. And then so I made ketchup. I made teriyaki sauce. I made steak sauce, like a Thai sweet chili sauce, because it's like
you sent them all to me. We've been trying them.
Yeah, and you go to these restaurants and stuff, and it's like, I mean, look at all the sugar you're putting in your body.
Can I tell you something?
What's that?
I don't like the containers that the sauces are in. I have a terrible time with them. I try and get the tops off. I pull the thing up. The thing squirts out.
Splash.
Yeah, it's a mess.
So
put it in a bottle.
We are putting it in
bad
a bottle.
For the environment.
We are putting it in a bottle. It's going into a bottle starting next month.
Okay.
Because you're not the only person who's made that.
Yeah, I thought maybe I'm just terribly uncoordinated.
No, it's just the law of displacement, because people naturally will grab it and then pull the ring.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it goes everywhere. There's no, exactly.
I've had so many people tell me that. They're like, oh, we love the product. The product's unbelievable, but your packaging sucks.
Because it goes all over the place.
Yeah. So we switched over to a bottle, and so probably the run we're going to do next month, we'll have it all in bottles, and we're adding SKUs to, like, we're adding a spicy garlic ketchup, which is hands down my favorite condiment I've ever had. Like, it is really, really good.
Okay.
And then we have a spicy barbecue sauce, and I'm working on a line of Asian infused sauces. And so, yeah, as much as I can get into the lab, the better. I'm also making a line of cocktail mixes too. So I've got the margarita mix finished.
Nice.
I'm gonna do Cosmopolitan.
Okay.
And then I'm working on some other ones, because just because you're keto doesn't mean that you can't have
have fun.
Can't have a toddy once in a while.
Right, exactly. Like the, what's that bartender, the Paradise Bartender? Have you seen her on Instagram? She's like in Hawaii making these drinks.
It's no, hysterical. I haven't.
She can use your stuff to.
Yeah, I'll give it to be. Her.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's your business now. You're in the keto.
Yeah, I would say it's like a side hustle, actually. Because like okay. My main business is I'm like the head food scientist and CEO of Icon Foods. And that we supply ingredients to thousands of different companies.
But that's not a retail business because
it's not a retail business.
Got it. Okay. I thought the sauce, everything was sold through Icon also. No, that's a separate company.
That's Guy Gone Keto. Yeah. So that's my side hustle.
Okay.
And I don't know. I like it better.
You're an entrepreneur. Funny. You're the CEO of Icon Foods. That's your company too, right?
Yeah, that's true. But you know, there's a huge difference between being an entrepreneur and being a CEO. That's huge true. Difference.
Right.
And
not all can make it from one to the other.
I would have to say that I struggle as a CEO. I think I do well as an entrepreneur, but I definitely struggle as a CEO.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not the best CEO either. Yeah.
It's definitely. Like herding cats.
It's a different skill almost. I know.
It is. Got to keep it cool.
Well, that's why a lot of these big companies end up throwing out their founder or moving him down the chain or whatever and bringing in a CEO. It's a different skill set when you're a large corporation.
Yeah, I'm just waiting.
So what
for
kind
that
of
to
things
happen.
Does Icon Foods supply? Like, what kind of industries?
Lately, we've been doing a ton of frozen dessert, like plant-based frozen desserts.
Yeah,
sweeteners are our main business. But I also started like a couple years ago getting into inclusions because I found that inclusions, like chocolate chips and white chocolate chips and sprinkles and stuff like that, when you look at like a lot of the bars and a lot of the frozen desserts that are out there, a lot of their added sugars are coming from inclusions. And so a couple of years ago, we took a leap of faith and had 100,000 pounds of dark chocolate chips that had no sugar produced for us, and which was about $400,000, and sold them out in less than 20 days. And I'm like, okay, so there's a real need for this.
Yeah, well,
so,
that was a risk, but yeah.
It was a risk and there was a great payoff. Otherwise, I would have been sitting on chocolate chips till the end of time. Yeah. But it worked out for us. And then I found that getting into inclusions and ice cream, cookies, and bars is a great way for us to sell more sweeteners because really they're just a carrier for our sweeteners. So we're expanding quite a bit into way, way more inclusions.
So is Icon Foods produces like keto-based sweeteners? They're not table sugar. Mm-hmm. You're not, right? They're healthier, synthetic.
Yep.
Yeah. Or natural.
Yeah. So all of those formulations for all of our inclusions, we do it in-house and we use our sweeteners in them. So they have no added sugar. They're low carb and they fall into the keto macronutrients.
So plant-based ice cream is like soy ice cream and
cashew
coconut, ice cream.
Cashew.
Coconut.
Yeah. Because all of our chips are plant-based.
Got it. Got it. I just listened to a podcast about the guy who started Impossible Foods and I was fascinated at the science of, I mean, basically what he said was, listen, let's break down a burger and let's find the same proteins that work like a burger because people who eat red meat aren't going to eat veggie burgers. They got to eat something that acts like meat and they scientifically engineer a burger.
Yeah.
Basically. I find it fascinating. I hope in 10 years we don't find out there's something wrong with that, but I guess we'll deal with that. But tell me about monk fruit. That's like right? Because you sent me that bottle of sweetener. Boy, that stuff is strong. Holy shit.
It's the little bottle, the monk juice?
No, there was a big one too. And one of the ingredients was monk fruit. It was sweet.
So,
it's like a syrup almost.
Oh, that's the Keto Sweet Plus. That's my favorite.
Holy, yeah. You can't squeeze too much of that in your coffee.
No,
wow.
You just put a little bit in there. Yeah. And then did you get a small bottle?
I learned that the hard way. It was like, it's like this big and then a little one. Two
yeah.
Ones.
So the little one is just pure monk fruit juice. And so the monk fruit is like, it's actual fruit, grows in Southeast Asia. And in its natural state, it's about 25 times sweeter than sugar, but it has a different sort of a sweet compounds in it that are called Mogrosite 5.
Okay.
And so that's just the juice, but then we'll extract the sweetness out of it and it can be up to 300-400 times sweeter than sugar. And then we can blend that with other sweetening compounds because if you just used something
it's
that
too
was
too strong. Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd be using hardly any. And so when you look at like the food industry and one asks themselves like, why are they always putting sugar in everything? Like everything has sugar in it.
Because they want you to eat more.
Well, they do want you to eat more, but there's another factor at play. Sugar is a subsidized industry. And so sugar is super cheap. And so sugar can be used as a bulking agent. So basically, it just creates bulk, which you wouldn't have if you just used pure like monk fruit. You'd be using, you know, like 1/100th of a gram to sweeten your coffee.
Does that mean it increases their volume of whatever they're producing?
100%. So it increases the volume. So let's take ketchup, for instance.
Okay.
So when you look at the ingredient deck or the ingredients.
We're talking about like Heinz ketchup, basic ketchup.
Heinz, Kraft, any of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you look at basic ketchup. The first ingredient, if you're lucky, is going to be tomatoes. The second ingredient is either going to be sugar or high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. It's always
and so, yeah. And so the reason that they do that and the reason that conventional consumer goods companies do that is because they can get sugar for less than 15 cents a pound.
Right. It's really cheap.
Which means all you do is you take sugar and salt and then you can add a little bit of tomato to it. And a little bit of vinegar, but your bulk, the biggest part of your formula is going to be sugar.
And it's cheap.
And it's 15 cents a pound. And it's going to be way cheaper than tomatoes, which are like $1.50 per pound.
Now, is high fructose corn syrup cheaper?
High fructose corn syrup, I think, is about 10 cents a pound. So it's even cheaper.
And is that even considered sugar? Like
it's 100% sugar. So high fructose corn syrup.
Do they treat it that way? Does it fall? It still has to be considered sugar. Like you can't say something sugar-free if it's got high fructose corn syrup in it.
Okay, no. Okay. And high fructose corn syrup is sort of a bullshit label because it's not high in fructose. It's just basically liquid sugar.
And you say in your book that fructose is even worse than regular sugar because the way your body metabolizes it or something?
Yes. And that is a fact. If you're practicing keto, right?
Yeah.
Your liver is the organ that's going to convert the fats to ketones.
Right.
And so if your liver is busy metabolizing fructose, because fructose is metabolized in the liver, actually,
it pumps it out as fat, the liver.
It does. And so here's the thing that's super interesting about fructose that a lot of people don't realize is that fructose actually isn't metabolized. Fructose is converted. So your body doesn't metabolize fructose as much as it converts fructose to lipids or fat.
Right.
And so check this out. So when you look at like bears before they go into hibernation, they're going to be eating all sorts of fruit. And it's in the fall.
Sugar. Yeah.
They want the sugar. They want the fructose because all of that fruit is overly ripe. And when a piece of fruit is overly ripe or it's almost rotten is where it's got the highest concentration of fructose. So they are actually consuming massive amounts of fructose in this rotten fruit that they're eating.
Right.
And it automatically converts to lipids or fat.
That's stored in their cells, right?
And it stores in their cells, stores on their body, and then they hibernate. We don't hibernate.
We don't?
We don't. So we don't need to have fructose.
Right.
So yeah, your body doesn't metabolize it. But in the case of like, if you eat a piece of fruit, and I mean, I don't think that fruit is bad. I think fruit juice is bad because all you're doing is taking in sugar. But if there's actual fruit that supports a ketogenic diet, and it's blueberries, any of the berries, raspberries, blackberries, any of those, because they're really low
stuff.
Yeah. They're really low in sugar and they're low glycemic. So eat a few berries.
Right. It's not going to kill you.
No. Stay away from the bananas.
I'm bad. I probably eat a banana most days in the mornings. But yeah, what can I say? I'm trying to change that. I am trying to change. I'm eating partially keto ever since I read your book and my wife's been bugging me and whatever. So yeah, I told you some of the keto snacks are, some of them are good. So you gotta
look around. Some of the keto snacks taste like crap. They do. Yeah. They're just not very good. And then what's also interesting is I've noticed more and more keto products coming out that aren't keto.
Right. They're kind of masquerading as.
There's a few out there and I won't name names, but there's a few out there that use an ingredient called iso maltoligosaccharide or IMO. And it can be disguised as vegetable fiber. It could be disguised as soluble corn fiber syrup. So these things that have isomaltoligosaccharide or IMO will take you out of keto pretty quickly. They do have a lot of fiber, but they're also, when they leave the stomach, they're metabolized as a simple sugar. So a lot of the products that I've seen that say that they're keto, I would say try at your own risk and constantly look for soluble corn fiber, syrups, vegetable syrups, IMO, isomaltooligosaccharides, like look for those because those will be converted to sugar. They'll knock you out of keto.
Right. And you had, in your book, you mentioned there's services where you can get a keto box every month or whatever, but you should read the labels and don't just accept the fact that they fall within the category or whatever.
Yeah. And I love the keto boxes because they're fun.
Yeah. But you never know what you're going to get.
You get a lot of meat sticks.
Like Forrest Gump. Yeah, I know. There's a bench punch. I got a bunch of those. Those are good though.
They are.
You know, a lot of it is like unsweetened, you know, dark chocolate and stuff. And some of that stuff is very plain and very dry and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff. My whole thing is if you look at the diets that are generally, you know, work for people, they're generally low glycemic. They're about balancing your sugar levels and getting off of sugar. And, you know, it's just ironic. Our entire processed food industry, and I think I told you this last time we spoke, is about getting you to eat more sugar. I mean, that's how they make every product has sugar in it. And you know, we're at the point where I was reading there, it cost the insurance industry 3 times the profit of the sugar industry to treat people with metabolic disorder, which is insane.
That is
like
insane.
It would be cheaper for the insurance industry to write a check to the sugar industry. They'd save 2/3 of what they spend.
Well, if they were writing a check to the sugar industry and then the government is already writing a check to the sugar industry,
they're huge
we could
lobbies.
All get sugar for free.
Right, of course. I mean, you go back sugar to the 50s and this stuff and it's in everything. Yeah. It's in the schools and
it is,
you know, it's just the whole, it's its own pandemic.
It is. That's
but,
true.
You know, you just keep trying to fight the good fight and do stuff and keep yourself. And I like your products and I'm going to replace the ones you sent me to sample. I wear your t-shirt too. I appreciate that. So it's funny when we got, I don't know if the mailman dropped the whole thing or whatever, but there was a bag of, I think, sweetener in there, right? It was like, and it burst.
Oh shit.
So I opened this up. I'm like, my wife's like, what'd you get? Like a box of crack or something? I said, you know, cocaine, I guess she said. I said, no, this is my friend who's the guy gone keto. So we opened up, she says, oh, look at these products. So then we had to clean them all off.
Oh, shit.
I think we were able to save some of the sugar. But somebody stepped on something. I don't know what happened, but it's pretty funny. But but definitely keep me involved
for sure.
Your stuff. I think it's really great. Maybe at some point we could sell some through the podcast or something.
Sure.
We can do something. And when the new bottles come out, you got to tell me as well.
Oh, I'll send you a bunch.
I appreciate it. All the sauces taste great. I mean, they really are.
Just wait till you try that spicy garlic ketchup.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. My daughter, especially, she likes spicy things. So
nice.
But I love what you're doing with Icon Foods.
Thank you.
We'll put in the show notes about where people can get the book and read the book. That's where they should start and follow you on all the social media links. And
perfect.
I appreciate you connecting with me, and this has been really educational and cool. We haven't really talked a lot about like entrepreneurship in general, but you started these companies and grown the companies. But the whole keto thing is valuable because you know when you're an entrepreneur, you got to be healthy. Like health and wellness is a good thing. So I appreciate you spending some time with me and
sharing
all your information.
Anytime.
I appreciate it.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.